Action.
Oss. Wally Estima, welcome to the podcast.
Oh man, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the visit and welcome to my world.
No, this is
a very nice gym.
Very nice gym, very nice office.
For those of you on YouTube, you will see we're sat here in no gi attire.
Yes.
Ready for later.
Ready for a beating.
Well.
Well. Straight from the off, should we explain to people what the difference... Well, Braulio, could you explain to us the difference between gi and no gi?
Well, it's literally the gi itself, right? And if you never heard of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's a martial arts that we use holds, pins, controls, submissions, and escapes, self-defense. And... when you use the gi, which is like the uniform, when it looks like a cloth, like, you know, a jacket, and then you use the grips to achieve the goals. And when you don't have it, you use whatever you have to grip. You know, you may appreciate a lot more the angles and the edges of your body to be able to control and pin.
There you go. And we're repping RGA today.
So, and I think we'll get on to who you are in a second. Yeah. So we're wearing different uniforms at the moment. We're wearing Hodja Gracie uniforms, you're wearing Gracie Barra. For people, it took me 2 years to realize that in Portuguese, R is more like an H.
If he is double in the middle, yes. Or in the beginning. That's the rule, right?
Double.
So if he's only one R, is R. If it's two R's in the middle between vowels, is H.
Is that why they say Hodja Gracie?
But that's because the rules is outside.
Okay.
If it's the first letter, it's always H.
Henzo.
Henzo Roger.
Bela Riva.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, carro, barra, there's two R's.
Learned two things already. 2 minutes in.
See? Well, that's only the beginning.
So when people, they ask me about like Gracie Barra, people say to me like, oh, what gym shall I join? My local one's Gracie Barra. I often in England say, it's a bit like Costa. You got one, you know what you're getting. There's one in every town. It's, you know, a franchise. So with, we said before, how many schools you got?
Not myself, but the Gracie Barra, that are more or less between 850.
Around the world.
Around the world.
Around the world. Okay, yeah.
And then as far as RGA or Hodja Gracie, is there what, three, four?
I'm not aware exactly, but I think it's more than three or four. Just in London, I think that is, in UK, that is about six, I think.
But are they, one thing I didn't understand, like when I first, because we first started at Gracie Barra in Fulham, they're all connected, right?
Yeah.
How are they connected?
Because everything started with the Master Carlos Gracie Sr., right?
Okay.
Master Carlos Gracie Sr. is the Roger's grandfather.
Okay.
Right? So it's Roger's direct linked to my professor, which is his professor, you know, Master Carlos Gracie Jr., which is his uncle, right? Hayla Gracie is Roger's mom, and which is sister of Carlos Gracie Jr., which is the son of the creator. And Carlos Gracie Jr. is the founder of the IBJJF, as well as Gracie Barra.
Okay.
And it took us quite a few years to really fully understand this massive Gracie Barra, or like the Gracie family, everyone who's what generation, where are they from, what it means. But before we get into those, Braulio Estima, you're one of the few people so highly regarded without the Gracie surname. So where are you from? Tell us about yourself.
Yes, I'm from Recife, back in Brazil, which is a city on the northeast of Brazil, 3 hours away by plane from Rio. And jiu-jitsu started mainly in the Amazon, Manaus, not the Amazon itself, but the Manaus is the capital of the north of Brazil. That came from the Konkoma, came from Japan, and he was migrating there. And when met Carlos Gracie Sr., and then Carlos Gracie Sr., and then Hélio Gracie, which is his brother, went to Rio de Janeiro. That's when he brought the açaí to Rio de Janeiro, because açaí is from the Amazon.
Is that why you see it at all the jiu-jitsu comps? Açaí trucks at every jiu-jitsu comp?
It became a tradition because it's very healthy food, at the same time, very caloric, gives you a lot of good energy,
carbs,
and you know, it's well-feeling, and then it doesn't get you like too full, you know, for training. It's good for between, before and after training is all good. But so that was the tradition became with through jiu-jitsu, you know. And then when Carlos Gracie Sr. went to Rio, he was a very connected guy, amazing network, and and a lot of people used to go for him to him for to get like a spiritual guidance.
Okay. Back in,
you know, so he was very spiritual, and somehow he felt that jiu-jitsu, there's something about in jiu-jitsu that he'd never seen in any other martial arts. And he felt that, he used to say that if everyone in the world did jiu-jitsu, the world would be a much better place to live. This was his belief. He probably saw something like that. I picture later, more or less, why, and we can talk about it. But then, Carlos, he had 21 kids. He was very busy.
21?
Busy. Really busy. Really.
One man.
Well, come on, man. No Netflix that day. Back in the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he was like busy getting himself helping, spreading the seeds. You know, that's the following the path. So, you know, and at the same time, spreading the jiu-jitsu within the family. So I think this was one of the... They always used to talk on, make some good genetic guys pass it on. So, because they were very small. Carlos Gracinho, very small, and Helio Gracie, very small, like 70 kilograms, 78 kilograms, 68 kilograms.
So they were like 6 foot girl coming.
Yes, that's pretty much it, you know. If you see, if you read the Carlos Gracie Senior book by Helio Gracie, which Roger's mom, she made a book, wrote a book. It's really interesting. It has a lot of things that I don't want to talk about because it's very intriguing, but you clear up. You should
okay,
read that.
Okay, okay.
So then, right, Carlos Gracie Jr. Is the son of Carlos Gracie Sr. Helio Gracie, which is the brother of Carlos Gracie Sr., has his legacy, which is what Horion Gracie, what led to UFC, Hickson Gracie, Hoyler Gracie, and the family carry on like kind of a, not sure if it's divided, but each one on your own tree, following your branches, right? Jiu-Jitsu grew in the world after the IBJJF exploded in America. So I believe that everyone who does Jiu-Jitsu today, even in Australia, is because of the growth of the IBJJF. It was a very big like highlight what that is a sport that can be worldwide.
And how old were you when you started?
I was 16.
Okay.
16.
That's later than I thought.
Yeah. Yes, I thought the same. I wanted to start earlier. But I'm very happy that I started at the time. It's a lot of coincidence happened in my journey. Even me being here, there's a lot of coincidence, like connecting with Roger. Roger's my best mate, and we've been best training partners ever since. And even though we never trained all the time, but we kind of had different games that was very complementary.
Okay.
You know, I had a very unique, different guard because there was no reference. As I said, I was 3 hours away by airplane from Rio. So there was no black belts where I was from. So I was going connecting once a year in Rio. So I was meeting and I connected with the guys, the blue belts, Roger was at the time. So I don't even knew he was Gracie. I just felt happy. It was a tough training. So I carry on. We connecting with all the kids at the time. And then time goes and we grow in exchange a lot of knowledge. Every time I go to Rio, connect some techniques, come back home, 6 months, 8 months.
So when you like first started and you said there was no black belts, was this a matter of a training? I'm assuming you have someone that's higher level than everyone, but was it a matter of everyone trying to figure something out? Or was it more like, this is the technique, this is how you're doing it?
So that's a good question. The idea was, when I started jiu-jitsu, there was a brown belt who came from Rio and he was living in Recife, called Charles Dos Anjos. He actually now, he was my first coach, and he's in Florida now. He went in Florida when I got my blue belt. He got my blue belt, he gave me the blue belt, and went. So Zé Radiola was a purple belt at the time, became like the leader of the school that I was, but everyone else was a lower belt. So we did have a reference of a brown belt.
Okay.
But I wasn't sure about until the first time I went to Rio when I was 17, when I met Roger, when I met all my teammates as a blue belt. And then I understood. That's when I met Carlos Gracie Jr. for the first time. I lost first fight at the Brazilian Championships. Before I come back home, I want to had one more training so I can get as much as possible so I can learn. And then I was training. Carlos Gracie Jr. was there and did my best because he was watching. He came on the side and said, "Hey, kid, what's your name?" I said, "Oh, my name is Brody." "So where are you from?" "I'm from Brazil. I'm from Recife." And he goes, there's something about you. Keep going, keep training, you know. And he gave me good advice that is exactly how my dad used to give me.
Okay.
You know, like choose your right people to be around. Don't go on drugs. Don't go into, you know, party all the time. Focus on jiu-jitsu. There's something about you. 25 years later, we're here.
Oh, and you got, he must have got a good vibe from you.
Yeah, I think he saw a potential. He is very, he's a visionary. You know, it's not by accident that, going back to the point, the IBJJF that I was talking, you know, he spread jiu-jitsu around the world through IBJJF.
Yeah.
At the same time, he had a reference of his academy that is connected to his dad. So it's much more than just jiu-jitsu, but that also the philosophy, the values that his dad always taught him. So he wanted to spread jiu-jitsu, but at the same time with something leading within jiu-jitsu as a reference to inspire others to get to the as close as possible to the link to the beginning. That's the thing in making the world in a way a much better place to live in. You know.
Do you know? On a side note, when you say you told him his name, your name even, you have one of the coolest names in the fucking world. Like when I meet someone, what's your name? James. And then surname Smith. They're like, this guy's like you. You're like, my name is Braulio.
Braulio.
Braulio. That, it's raw.
Braulio. Sex appeal straight away.
Yeah, it's a different name. My dad's name, so he put me, but he didn't give me the junior. He gave, because my middle name is different.
Is your dad alive in Brazil?
Yeah, he's in Portugal.
Oh, he's in Portugal.
Yeah, coming next week to see everyone. For the first time ever in my life, we're going to see and be in the same place with all the family together ever.
Really?
Since, yeah. Never happened. Like my kids, my brother kids and wife, my girlfriend and my other brother, my sister, my mom and dad.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Can't wait.
When I see jiu-jitsu practitioners and legends, I see people that have good values and they're often family people. They're often, you know, people that really treasure their relationships. They treasure the people they surround themselves by. A lot of jiu-jitsu gyms actually do feel like family environments. And I think a lot of people can look into a jiu-jitsu gym and just see people rolling around.
Mm-hmm.
And they can massively overlook the fact that, like, it's almost like camaraderie. It's, they're your enemies, but they're your friends. They're your teammates, but they're also the people you turn up to choke the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
You have good days, bad days. There's so much character that is developed from it.
I was with my sister the other day, went out to eat with her, and I saw one of the guys I used to roll with, a purple belt, one of the guys that was from Flow. I saw him, I was like, yeah! My sister's like, who's that guy? I'm like, I used to train with him at JITS a year and a half ago. She's like, a year and a half ago? Like jiu-jitsu?
It's crazy,
like,
yeah.
You seem really close. I'm like, when you're choking each other out, you become like very close.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, like, did you see what the Carlos Gracie Sr. most have noticed about? But you know why that is connection different than anyone else? You mentioned already, but the subconscious, like, we don't think when you train. We just want to play. We want to beat each other, choke each other to win the game, right?
Yeah.
But your subconscious is scanning that. And the trust that has in between the parties is unique.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the subconscious goes, man, someone's choking. He could just kill me.
Yeah.
Right? But I tap, he let it go.
So you build trust.
Build trust. And the same thing, I'm choking you. You tap and I let it go. He goes, man, he trusts me. And and then the connection is unique. That's why.
Do you think that jiu-jitsu is becoming crazy big, right?
Yeah.
And it's getting bigger. You said it's the
fastest growing martial arts.
Is it?
Yeah. So do you think it's becoming harder to hold on to the values that was originally created?
That's why it is. And that's why I feel that's my mission.
Okay.
Through Gracie Barra to keep those. You know, because if you see, like, if when it passes through generations, it's like the Chinese whispers. You know, I teach you something, you teach someone, teach someone, teach someone. By the time you get to the fifth generation, it is not exactly how I taught you. You just get, you evolve technically, going to make some amazing techniques, completely different, even much more effective than the one that I probably show you. But the values, you know.
You teach agility and then you see the Delta variant of it. That's not what I taught. But yeah, I can appreciate that if there's too many degrees of separation, you can start to lose that. And
because even I get, like, one of the reasons I know we love jiu-jitsu is because there is that element of respect and you jump on the mats, doesn't matter what you do, who you are, if you're a multi-millionaire, if you have millions of followers, you come in somewhere and you show that respect to your black belts, to everyone around you, you know. And I think that's one of the most special things about you. So even when I see something, I'm like, go say hello to the black belt, stand up, what are you doing, man? Go say hello, you know. I think it's important to keep that.
Very important. And also understand that also, as I was speaking to you guys before about the metaphors that I like to understand a lot life, and I kind of compare with the concept that I learned through jiu-jitsu, because I believe that if you are successful in anything you do, there is some there's some concept that you followed that can be applied in anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. So sharing is caring, right? The more you share, the more you treat the others the way that you like to be treated, you know, making the others be feeling welcome when coming in, you know, is very important. But there's not many schools are like that. And we go there, like there's the clicking group there. You go to the class, oh man, the guys want to beat you up to show how good they are. And you go out with a very bad experience. Instead of being inclusive, you are kind of putting excluded. And this is kind of one of the values we do, because we focus on brotherhood. We focus on self-development and also the integrity. You know, so this is very important for us, you know.
And I think someone like you doing it is really important, because I think it's easy to say, hey, respect, you should show respect. But then when there's an absolute killer saying that, you're like, we have to listen to this guy. You have to. Because if it was me or him saying it, I'm like, shut up, blue belt. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny, because when I started, like, I was a white belt. I remember there was this blue belt, Rodrigo, his name. He went with R. Rodrigo. See, Rodrigo. One R Rodrigo. Before that. So he went to compete at the Worlds and got third. And then came back to Recife. Man, he didn't even look at nobody. He think he's the blue belt. Because there was no man, right? There was no purple belt at the time.
Yeah.
The guy thinking he's the man. And I remember feeling, you know what? I wish one day I could be something in jiu-jitsu and prove that you don't need to be that way by being good. Because by being good in something doesn't mean that you're a better person than anybody else. And that's why when you have the mentality, a doctor, a priest, I have a priest who trained with us, you know, and he connects and he feels like, man, this is the best escape for him, you know. So it doesn't matter what your color, doesn't matter your religion, doesn't matter your politics, dividers. We link through jiu-jitsu, and this is beautiful. You know?
It's great when you see people line up, and before and at the end of class in the beginning, you line up in belt order. First of all, I really like how if someone's new, they're like, hey guys, these guys are new. Or like, if someone hasn't got a card, shake your hand, welcome. Like, if you need anything, you these are all your friends. And like you say, you go in order, and there's no hierarchy. There's no, this clique is the rich kids, this is the popular kids. You go in belt order, and it's so nice, because for me, my first gym, if you're a white belt, you've got to wipe the sweat off the mats to promote, like, say, hey guys, when you get better, you won't have to do it. And I remember I'd flown on a fancy part of the plane. I'd got my 100,000 followers on Insta. I fly back to Sydney. I get off the plane, go training, and I'm there wiping up other people's sweat. And like, they're like, no one cares about your reality fucking blue tick here, mate. And it was quite nice. It was fun. It was humbling, but you know, it makes you want to work harder, because for so many people, and I'll even say this myself, you can be regarded so highly in so many things that you do need reality checks.
Mm-hmm.
And having one every day on the mat is the best way.
Yeah. Every morning, 7 a.m., reality check.
It's very, it's unique. This is another advantage of jiu-jitsu that I like about, okay? Because I can train full on with you every day, and then I'm not intended to hurt you. You know, I don't need to hurt you to win a fight. Right. If I train, nothing against the other martial arts, I'm just trying to say that they're slightly different, because it is that different. I train and I like boxing. I like Thai boxing. I did MMA, for God's sake. By the way, I'm undefeated, never lost. Numbers don't lie.
Just so you know. Just
one,
so you know.
One and
nice.
All by submission. But if I want to train Thai boxing, there is no other way for me to win a match or a training if I don't hurt my opponent. I'm going to have to hit him.
Yeah.
You have to, you try to tag, okay, but if you're going to go for real, you're going to end up getting hit, right? And in jiu-jitsu, you can go full on. You don't necessarily do. So that's also, you can put in practice over and over again, every day, 7 a.m., and you can, the problem solving with reality, That's the best reality check. And you save, work out, and then spend energy, spend bloody 2 hours of your day, completely forgot about all your problems because you cannot think about nothing else apart from being present on the moment.
That's why I love the mats.
You know, it's incredible.
That's the best thing about the mats. No phone, nothing, just survival.
Therapeutic. You know, you cannot disconnect. Otherwise, you lose.
Yeah.
People say to me as well, they go, oh, you know, but I'm really sore, I'm really beaten up. And I say as well, I haven't rested around in maybe like 8-9 months. And all I have to do is put myself out there and just reduce my ego. If I turn up to train and sore, I'm like, I'm probably going to get tapped out a lot. I'm probably going to spend 20 minutes today with someone mounting me. Or if I'm knackered between rounds and I go in, I think to myself, I'm better off there being good armbar practice for someone else than I am sat there just watching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice that you can have these opportunities to dial back your ego and you think, this is going to be better for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we started, Dieran and I were the worst white belts in the world. We fought for everything. If he mounted me, rather than just saying I've been mounted, I was like, I will die here today getting him off of me.
We were so bad. Joao, who we were training with in Bali, he's from São Paulo. He used to go, hey, CrossFit, relax. When people used to look at us, Joao used to look at us and be like, no, I'm not rolling with you guys.
We would remember. He'd get us to do like warm-ups on the mat. You do certain movements. And he'd be like, do I speak Russian? And he'd be like, my grandma, do this.
You look like Russian.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, now you do.
With the hair.
You like it?
I like it.
When
you're going to leave it out? You're going to leave it out there?
A little bit.
Until he gets his purple belt, he said.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a long time. I could have missed it.
So for people listening as well, one thing I'd love is for you to let us know your accomplishments as a jiu-jitsu practitioner. So gi, no gi, MMA, hopefully you remember by heart what you've accomplished.
Well, I won 4 times world championships in gi.
Flex. And,
flex.
I did also the World Cup in Brazil. I won the absolute and the World Pro in Abu Dhabi. I won one.
And just to interject there, for people listening, you have your weight divisions, but then you also have absolute, which is all of the weight divisions put together. And how much would you weigh at that time?
86.
So you're kind of in the midpoint, middle weight, kind of, if people were listening. So that means you could be put in with someone who's 120 kg.
Yeah, I have. It's a nightmare. That proves technique works. And I won the 3 times at the ADCC World Championships. That's my... The NMMA was the only one, but I don't consider myself
an
MMA fighter.
You won ADCC 3 times?
It's weight and absolute. I have 3 titles, right? But it's in 2 different events.
Okay.
It's a weight and absolute on 2009. And against Jacare, the super fight. In 2011.
ADCC, for people listening, is the World Cup.
Like Olympics. World Cup, Olympics. Yeah.
This one's going down in Las Vegas this year.
2022.
And what's crazy is the way
we should
this,
go.
We should. Yeah,
we should go.
Come on.
The way the sport.
I'm commentating there.
Are you?
Yeah.
So are we.
Yeah, we're coming. We're coming.
But the way, one of the most exciting things to me is, like, I could be wrong, but football World Cup to World Cup and rugby World Cup to World Cup, not a lot changes. There might be some subtle things about how the hooker throws the ball in that's a bit savvy, but jiu-jitsu is evolving at a rate where I start watching people in matches now, and wrestling is now starting, because of the rule set, there are different rules between them. Wrestling is becoming more prevalent. Leg locks only really came into play in the last 5-10 years. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting because and a lot of gyms do this. If you do not stay up with the curriculum of new techniques, you'll be left behind.
You'll be left
very
behind.
Much. And I started on my generation, like when you mentioned about the footlocks and leg locks, it was frowned upon. If you go for footlocks, you're like, oh man, you don't do jiu-jitsu and stuff. And it's become a big hole.
Wasn't there some booing when people used to go for legs?
Yeah. I mean, I remember people actually got someone. I was a blue belt, and it was a brown belt came visit our town and from Rio. And then I went to, he smashed me, but I got his foot. He mounted me, I wrap around, I got his foot straight locked. I was in the moon, right? But for everyone else, I was like, it is a foot lock. Nowadays, the mentality changed, right? Because if it's part of your body, you should be aware. And if jiu-jitsu is true, and as you know, if that is all, if you back engineering everything, reverse engineering, there is always a way out for anything if you don't let go too far. So if you're aware, you just need to multitask a little bit, and you can only panic really for the, with the unknown. That's when you get. But if you know what's up, you know what you're fighting for. Yeah. It's pretty straightforward, and with time, you know, that's why the evolution became a lot of people being left the attacking the heel hooks and foot locks. Therefore, they don't know how to defend neither, because if they don't be put in practice every day, 7 a.m., you cannot go through that so many times to understand the principles. So now it has changed, the wrestling, the rules, different rule sets in different events, you know, that are competition that's submission only. There's other competition that's the ADCC that's like, there's no points the first half of the match, the second half the points included, so you cannot pull guard, you get minus, so it forces you to either take down, find ways to bring the fight to the ground without having to take the guy down. So the creativity, you know, goes, and the IBJJF, different rules and advantages. So I am in pro to, there's many different rules. If one day there is the bloody, you're going to do on the bouncy castle with soap, jiu-jitsu, it's fun. We're going to figure out things that you would never do if you never be put in that circumstances, you know?
So the traditional kind of idea of jiu-jitsu, as I would see it, was, okay, self-defense, someone's attacking you, we need to put them on the floor to nullify their attacks, points for, you know, that your opponent is now less dangerous. He now has up kicks, so we now need to deal with his legs by getting past them. You get points. You're now knee on belly or side control, mount or back. Then from there, you submit someone. But what happened was that traditional kind of hierarchy of positions was reversed by people then in no-gi matches sitting down and saying, come on top of me, come on. Because when you come on top of me, I'm going to grab your foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think is this where kind of, the angst came from people going, that's not proper jiu-jitsu, because people were now playing the system.
Mm-hmm. It's accepting that is a gap, you know, and if you don't engage, you're going to be off, you're going to lose the game. So that the rules will make, for example, if you sit down in ADCC, for example, you get minus point if you're in the final. You will sit down and minus one. But if you sit down and you got minus one, the guy has to engage. There's no other option, you know? Yeah. So people who is very confident, did they train? They're very specialized on the footlocks and training, fighting against someone that's very good to take down. It's much better sit down, get minus one, than be taken down and get 2 points.
And then finish.
And then go for the finish. And if he doesn't, you know what I mean? So you have to adapt. You know, everything you got to adapt. You said, James, that if you stick to your own little bubble, you're going to be very limited to what you know. And when you understand the world, the globalization, internet, people sharing, people appreciating, people evolving, you need to, like in the social media, you know, 10 years ago, the social media where it is now, you probably didn't have as many followers as you have now, and not as many jobs, not as many influence to your job, right? So you need to adapt, take advantage of it, and make the most of it, what you got to carry on, you know? Self-development.
When did you first realize that I'm going to start making money from jiu-jitsu and this is going to be my life? When did you realize that?
When I came to London.
Which was when?
2002.
How old were you?
22.
Okay.
Right. So I was doing production engineering for 3.5 years.
Brazilians were like, let's get these Western bastards.
Well, it was funny because I didn't choose jiu-jitsu for the money.
Yeah.
I was doing production engineering. The reason I was doing that was for money, make my degree and work. Yeah. My dad is a dentist, you know, I was the first one out of my family to step out of the academic world. My granddad from my mom's side was a judge. My granddad on the other side is a dentist. So
you come from a very educated family. Yeah.
And that was pressure.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really happy. I wanted to be an athlete somehow. I just felt the attraction. I love her. I grew up watching blood sport, you know, football. I wanted to be an athlete. And when I was doing production engineering, 3.5 years, like I was a brown belt. Yes, no, I already be competing. I've already won the world championship as a purple belt by the time. Brown belt, I just lost, got third in the Brazilian championships. But there's an opportunity to come to London. As already been to America competing, so I got a little bit more worldly. And then I said, okay, my friend came to Recife. It was £1, was like 7 reais, right? He was having the life, like a, you know, a holiday. I said, dude, what? Man, brother, man, you need to come and check it out. Long. I said, well, I should. He goes, look, that jiu-jitsu is nothing there yet. It's very small. And why not you come? I said, oh, man, you know what? I'm going to use my holiday break, and I'm going to check it out. I'm going to buy my ticket for 2 months and I see. Bought my ticket, and I say, cool, I'm going. I had to have the talk with my dad. My dad agreed. And the talk was this, that I want to go to London and try to see if something out there. You know, I've been family oriented. I didn't never thought leaving my country yeah. or my family. Right, my mom and dad are separated. He goes, why? Like Brazil at the time, jiu-jitsu at the time was associated to gangs because people is training jiu-jitsu to
yes,
to go okay. outside to do what it's not about the art, it's about the person, right?
Okay.
So there was a lot of discriminations with it. But I understood and learned jiu-jitsu the way that I did, right? So I told that, look, I know there's no money in jiu-jitsu, but I know that if I am good in something, it doesn't matter what you do. There will be a little followers there. I'll be okay. I'll be happy. There'll be like a dozen of people that will appreciate what I do if I'm good at it. If you get the best gardener in the world, he's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah. Maybe John across the road's not, but if you get the best in the world, he's fine.
He's fine, yeah.
The best wall painter in the world. You'll be okay. I want to be the best in jiu-jitsu. He goes, you're ready. Go. Okay. Okay. And then I call Roger because I think Roger.
Was he here already?
No, he was in Rio. Check this out.
Okay.
There was a connection already there, right? But I knew that Roger was going to Europe. I wasn't sure if it was UK, but I said, you know what? I'm going to give him a call. I said, Roger, look, how you doing, brother? I said, hey, Kakara. It's my nickname at the time.
What does that mean?
What does it
it's
mean?
It's a bird. Like an eagle, the Northeast eagle, you know?
Eagle, yeah.
Eye on the prey. So I call him and said, listen, Roger, look, I'm coming to London next week. Do you have any connections in London? Because I'm going to be there, maybe do some jiu-jitsu. He goes, bro, I'm boarding right now to London. That's coincidence. I said, no way. He goes, so I'll see you next week then. Cool. Bam, came here to London. I stayed at my friend's house, who invited me when he went on holiday to Recife. And then he brought me to do a class. At the next day, I arrived on Monday. I did the class on Tuesday. I made 78 pounds on that 1.5 hour class. I was like,
wise.
My man, I made it. That's a life.
Was this in London?
In London. Dude, it was the most... I remember the smell, the feel, the moment. Like, it was the time that I said, I would do that for free, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been doing that for free.
Yeah. Okay.
Back in Brazil. And I did it. I've been so appreciated. And that was the thing. You know, remember when I told my dad, like, there will be people that we appreciate. And then I found that it's possible people appreciate because we're not from here. We're from Brazil. And usually we say in Brazil, local sense doesn't operate miracles. That's a saying you say in Brazil. Okay. So that means you need to go out to be able to be appreciated. That's why UFC have to go to America to be appreciated. Now it's huge in Brazil, but never been before.
Yeah.
Jiu-Jitsu went to America. Oh, Jiu-Jitsu, now it's in Brazil, it's huge. Gracie Barra went to California to make a success story. Now we have
when they see the respect from others. Yeah,
and they appreciate. So when I felt appreciated for something that I have so much passion and so much love and energy to it, man, it was a no-brainer. Then I said, dude, that's the place. And I contacted Roger the next day. Roger, when we met, Roger, what's up? Is something here in jiu-jitsu? I said, bro, I have my dad already agreed bring Felipe Souza, which was a black belt at the time, close friends, to come and stay with me. I cannot just cancel. I said, bro, that's cool.
Was he a black belt?
Roger was brown. And I was a brown. Felipe was black.
Okay.
So, and I said, no, come on, man. I'm not here to take nobody. Just ask if there's something to do. I'm here. So next week, I have a seminar in Birmingham. And that's where my dad, we're here in London now because we used to be in Birmingham. We just moved to London. That's why Felipe Souza is coming to help out to spread in London. So they need instructors. So let's go to the seminar with me. If they like you, you can't take over there because they need instructor. I came, they liked it, and I haven't left since.
That's crazy.
That's just crazy.
And you know what? Because a lot of people would have gone, oh, this Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy is there. They're here from Brazil. We need to go. Because I find it cooler when I learn from a Brazilian. I don't know what it is.
Especially when the accent.
Yeah, it helps.
The hard thing is with Australians, an Australian struggles to sound intelligent. I'm gonna throw it out there.
Oh shit, you're gonna get some shit for that. Oops. Oh, oops.
Like in the fitness industry, for instance, mm-hmm. they're like, guys, so you got to get your mitochondria, and then we get your program, your strength. You're gonna program you over 12 weeks, mate. Then we're gonna get some volume with, and you're like, I can't do it.
You don't think it's serious.
What do you think about that? Then? Because you're the guy that told me that. You know what? See,
the, now like, the benefit of the doubt here now.
He was like, "You're coming down with me." Yeah, fuck it. Fuck him.
All right, mate. All right.
You walk into a room, you're like, "Today, guys, they're like here." They're like, "I don't know what it is, but I want to know." Yeah. But I want
anything.
To
do it again.
Do it again, please.
That was very interesting how it came about. So jiu-jitsu here, there wasn't zero, man. Zero, zero, zero. And then I decided to go. I don't know if you saw my last post with the helicopter number and then with them as a brown belt. And that was this reassurance, right? The money, like 78 pounds, I'm happy with that. 4.5, sweet, groovy. Went to compete. For the first time, I spent 2 months training.
Full time?
Full time, only jiu-jitsu because I'm not studying anymore. I'm doing weights. So I went to Stevie B's here, where and I started training mainly with my white belts students. That was not even 2 blue belts in white belts.
Oh, I've got a question for you after this that I'm very excited about.
And then I start training and then, okay, cool, let's do it. Teaching, doing privates, training. Boom, boom. I'm going to go to compete the Panams. Flew out there, no visa. And no visa to get back. I don't even realize that. I just want to go to compete. Right? I had a visa to America. So I went there. I got an infection on my throat. Jet lag, for the first time I felt jet lag because I never flew for such a distance before. It's 8 hours behind. Man, I felt terrible. Went there and won. Weight in absolute. 7 fights. 5 minutes, 24 seconds altogether. I was like, boom.
Well, you mean all your fights? You're only competing for 5 minutes?
In 24 seconds, yeah. It's crazy.
So
right?
You finished in the first minute?
Yeah. That was one that I felt at first minute, but the other one was 10, 20 seconds. So it can make it up. So an average of 47 seconds per fight. So that was a reassurance that it's right. The choice was right. I'm here. I'm fully on dedicated to jiu-jitsu. So the result came. Training with white belts and blue belts.
Okay. This is what I was going to ask. Right. I like to train with higher belts, but I don't practice enough submissions. And do you think over the years with yourself and Professor Gracie, that training with a lot of white belts and blue belts kind of got you that skill set to be able to execute all your...
It's necessary. If you don't put... If you don't have a carrot so you can drive to motivate you to... If the carrot's too far, you don't even bother to go. So, do you know what I mean? So, you need to... It's important to have all the levels. It's important to have someone that's going to be put you in a hard time.
Yeah.
But that was me and Roger. But you don't need to be... Everyday training, just me and Roger.
We need to stop training.
I saw, I can't remember who said it to me, but they said you need to spend 30% with people of the same ability, 30% people better than you, and 30% of people with worse than you. I don't know where the other 10% went. They go, you need that. So like as a purple belt, you need to have 30% with brown, 30% with blue and white, or whatever. But Darren and I have very similar abilities, so we actually hate rolling with each other because now we've also figured each other out.
Yeah.
But there are also a lot of high belt cliques that stay together and think they're too good for the white belts. Mm-hmm. But I actually love rolling with white belts because the only time I have confidence to give them tips.
Yeah.
If I say it to a blue belt, they're like, nah, you're only purple.
But then when you give tips, you're also rechecking it more, right?
It's not by accident you guys are where you are. You know, because this mindset is the most important thing for anything in life. Sharing.
Yeah.
When you teach... If you are giving your all, make the most, like another lesson that Master Carlos Gracie always gave us, look, focus on the positive and make the most of what you got and as much as possible. Here, we're making the most. We're having a good chat. We're sharing, talking, we're laughing. When I see you guys outside playing around the mats, I leave you guys for 20 minutes. You guys are already jumping up and down. You know, you living the life, make the most of it, of you got, you know. Pandemic hit us. What you do? You're going to be crying over, oh my God, I can't. Focus on what you can.
What you can do.
And then 100%. Make the most of it. And then when you do that to people, like, you know, one thing that I learned in life as well through jiu-jitsu is like when you appreciate each other and you have the giving back mentality as well, you know, and if you have your partner, it doesn't matter, partner, father, son, business, student, anything. If you both appreciate each other and both give back to each other, dude, it's a never-ending growth between yourselves, the both parties. You know, because if you do something to me, I say, man, thank you, man. Thank you very much. And I want to retribute. And you go, man, thank you very much. And that's how it went.
We've been doing that for 4 years.
Right? That's why you guys are there, right? Yeah. It's not by accident.
I message him. I'm like, how did you do that edit? And he's like, look, bro, come here. And he shows me, like, use Reels, get this, save it, put it on this. Then I message him. I go, Darren, I just bought a Rodecaster podcast. And he goes, that's sick. I'm going to buy the same. Yeah. And like all the time, whenever we got bits, gizmos, today I'm saying to him, you don't need that adapter. You can use a USB-C. And he's like, oh, yeah. Because also the one thing that we realize, if I tell Darren how to do everything and he does back, that means he's a more dangerous competitor to me, which means I have to work
harder.
And the same with the leg locks. When he got to Sydney, I go, let me teach you hooks. Because I've been learning it when you've been away.
Yeah, he's 6 months I went there, I went, fuck. And I went to Isaac Del Sitch. I was like, he goes, what do you want to learn? I said, escape. Escape leg locks, escape leg locks. That's all I want to know. And that's all I practiced until I could escape. And that's how you just keep leveling up.
Exactly. And then when you do that, it makes you reach levels that is you cannot inimaginable. You are like that even on your social media. You tell people tips that if people are there to listen and appreciate, and if they appreciate, develop themselves and do the same, imagine how...
It just goes to the universe.
Because when there's even like a lot of pages on Instagram where they show like reels of just very quick moves. Some are bullshit. Some I'm like, that's not going to work. But others, I see it and I'm like, I watch it 15 times and then I go, let's send that to Darren.
Yeah.
Because I need him to see it as well. Because I was like, I need him to know this as well.
Exactly. So you're the same. If you want to... the advice that you give to people, you know, it's a life changing stuff.
But you know what, I've realized this from like my family and where they're from. They're very much like this. As soon as they have something, they share it, and it comes from like not having much, right?
Exactly.
And then what you realize is the people that are very limited and have a very small capacity with growth are the people that are scared that they're going to lose something, and really, but they don't realize.
Low mentality.
Yes,
exactly. It's like when there's those wizards goes to the mountain to meditate. They connect to God and come back down to the mountains, and they share all the knowledge to the people, so they don't need to go up to get and then you grow with everything. That's how I feel. And I try to use jiu-jitsu as my tool to help that growth, and I share as much as possible. By doing that, when you try to teach fully something with passion, and you're really appreciating that, you're listening, and then you ask me questions because you're interested by it. And I try to figure out the reason why. And then, as you spoke, I go inside of my own brain, even things that I wasn't sure that why I did it, but then, therefore, now I know because you asked me the question. Therefore, I start ticking the box. And then the situation that I did well on the pronouns at the time was because there was no hesitation of movement, because I've been there so many times with my white belts, blue belts, it doesn't matter who you are. If you do slightly... wrong, but if it's on this time then and then, there's no time to react, you know. And that's how I start appreciating that, and then therefore I start teaching even more, because I connect the dots. I said, man, if I got in 2 months in that level, dude, I'm just gonna carry on,
just carry on.
Then people appreciate, people who stay with you appreciate you, becomes a good vibe, they want to do the same, and then they spread out, and then jiu-jitsu is what it is now, you know. It's crazy.
Is you know when you're back in Brazil, if you're a black belt jiu-jitsu, is it like, oh wow, or is it there's another black belt in jiu-jitsu?
No, it's a while. It's like they got chiefs. It's like if you are a doctor,
like respect. Like
you're a doctor, you're a dentist. You it's a formation, isn't it?
Yeah. Like the chap you had in here today, you rolled with before. I said hello to him. I said, oh yeah, I've seen your logo everywhere. Come and he's wearing a black belt. I'm like, I should be calling you professor. And how, in your opinion, for a lot of listeners, they might not appreciate how hard it is to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu, because in some like taekwondo and other things, you can get it as a kid.
Yeah.
Talk us through how difficult it is to get a black belt. What needs to be in place? You need to be a black belt underneath someone. When did you get yours? What did it mean to you?
Yeah. To be a black belt, jiu-jitsu is a real thing, right? And because we put in practice in reality training, as we mentioned before, every day is a test, is a reality check. in jiu-jitsu, we know it works because from the top of the rank, like from Carlos Gracie Jr., we know it works because he make it work, right? So we lead, and then we know that the more I do it, the more I will learn about myself. And everything that's real, everything that is truthful, cannot come like that from night and day. This, how you do you put an exposure, like when you, like 5 years ago, you were like walking, doing your, like, I don't know how long it was ago, but when you do your talks now, it's completely different, right? But it's a growth because it's real, right? So everything is real comes with time. So you just need to have patience and then put a step and a achievable goals at the time. You know, myself, how I put myself motivated to train was like, okay, I want to train. My main connection with jiu-jitsu was I wanted to be a champion. I was a competitor. That was my main goal. Now I don't compete. I have different purpose, but I learned through jiu-jitsu. But I put achievable goals. I wanted to be the best middleweight white belt in my academy. And I tried to achieve that. So I started to kind of put myself in and I want to be the best white belt in my card. I want to be the best blue belt in my weight division. And then it grows, you know. And at first, belts are just like stages, right? But really, the belt is just to give you a little bit of a reference. But a blue belt in Brazil doesn't mean it's going to be exactly the same as a blue belt in UK. Or it's what matters in the end is when you get to the black belt is when you kind of, okay, I've been through all that, and now I am black belt. And when you get black belt, when I got my black belt, I didn't feel like a black belt neither. So it's belt is very subjective to, is more like a carrot for you to keep chasing. Because
the journey is more important.
The journey, because if you go a white belt, okay, now you're going to be a black belt in 6 year times. Man, come on. Oh, okay. It's too far.
Yeah,
character is too far, and you feel it because you go through a lot in jiu-jitsu because you get a little frustrated sometimes. Sometimes works, sometimes doesn't work because you get to know the techniques, get to know the game. But the frustration is part of the evolution because if you don't get frustrated, that means that you don't care. You don't give a damn about what you're doing. So you got to feel that because like in life, it's not only on the up all the time. It's not happy, sunny days.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to handle through. In that, you get to know a lot about yourself. And then, you know, when you see after 10 months, you think you're still in the same level until a new person come and join and you go, oh,
yeah.
I have evolved because you don't see. So it's very subjective, but it's phases, right? Like you mentioned about first, you have to pass the guard, side control to the submission, right? It's in jiu-jitsu the same. First, you need to understand what's up. I need just to keep myself alive. And then how can I position my arm? Oh, I remember 3 months I was tapping 6 times every row. Umbers, long arms, lanky. Elbows together. And then, oh man, never again. But get choked now. So you start learning how to be there, be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. Don't put too much power when you don't need to. You used to get a grip. If I have this grip, that strength, or just touch would make no difference on that scenario, but I used to go everywhere. So you just, the acid lactic. So you get to understand a lot, but it's slowly, and it becomes, find the growth, the carrot, you know. The belt for me, I don't see, because I'm a competitor, there will be a competitor brown belt, that if you get someone as a brown belt that doesn't compete, you're going to smash like a black belt would, but it's not about that. It's the goal. Everyone is on a different journey. You cannot compare yourself to anybody else. You cannot try to train jiu-jitsu to be better than James or the Duran. You want to be better than yourself, and that will become your full potential. When the time is right, the time is right. And I got my black belt. I remember for 3 years as a black belt, I didn't feel black belt. Like, am I really that black belt when I was a blue belt I was looked up to? I don't know.
Where did you receive it?
I did see 2004.
In London? Or
In here, by phone. Master Carlos Gracie Jr. Because I was far away. And then he said, bro, listen, it's time. I cannot be there. So put your belt.
Did someone put, or you put it on yourself?
I put it myself. Guess what? At the time, we used to have this tradition for doing the we used to like whip if you want with the belt. So being teenage, being young, and then I used to, you know, I got like the adrenaline. I used to, every time I give a grade, I whip all this shit. dude, but when you get black belt, you don't get whipped. But they didn't believe me. So you're black belt. Okay, no, but black you don't. Yeah, right. Yeah. Man, all the karma. Since then, I never whipped nobody.
Do you think because you put it on yourself, could that be maybe why you didn't feel like you was a black belt?
It could be in a way, but I didn't. I'm very open-minded, and I understand the scenario. And once I have a phone call from Master Carlos Gracie Jr.,
yeah,
it's legit.
Yeah,
you know?
Legit. Yeah.
It was that year, actually. You know, when exactly. And I won the world championships on the same year.
Do you know what's funny? As soon as you say that, part of me wants to joke and go, well, Darren and I can do a ceremony for you today. But the thing is, we don't even, you don't joke about that. And I remember once we were in a change room about 2 years ago, and there's a black belt in there, and I pick it up. He goes, don't.
Yeah.
Darren said, don't. He goes, first time you wear a black belt, you want it to be yours.
Yeah.
And I remember going, you're completely right. I said, we'll put that down. And even you did a skit with a Lima where he wore a black belt. And I was like,
I said, don't put it on.
But there is such respect. And for people listening as well, you go white, blue, purple, brown, black. And there are, in most gyms, four stripes to signify a quarter of the progress to a belt. And people cannot understand the amount, how it feels to get one stripe.
Yeah.
Like,
it's an achievement. It's
emotional.
No, it is. It is incredible. I remember that when I got my third stripe, we are a bunch of white belts, 15. I think I have at home this picture. There was a magazine, local magazine, to take a picture of, what's this jiu-jitsu? This academy jiu-jitsu here is unique. There's no jiu-jitsu around. They can take a picture. If you see, traditionally, you should put your tag on your left side. So when the photographer was organizing everyone, because I was tall, they put me on the back, on the right. So the guy was covering my tag. I was a white belt, three stripes. I changed. Why did you fix the camera? I changed the belt to the other one so I could show the tag. Yeah, so I can show the three stripes. That's how proud I was.
That's very good. That's unreal.
Click that. You know?
And also, you know, like, I learned a lot of the reason as well that I appreciate the call. It is one of the biggest lessons of expectations that I had when I was a four-stripe white belt and I was doing really well. I consider myself the best white belt in the academy. And locally, I was winning competitions. And there was a workshop on this Friday in the academy. Back in the day, to get a belt is going to be on his main event, like a workshop. And there is no belt on the stores or in the academy. You need to order from Rio. A belt.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, guys, workshop Friday. I go, I want to be blue belt. I order my blue belt. I put it on my back. Let's go to the workshop. I don't even remember what was the workshop about. All I was thinking about was blue belt. Blue belt. Class finishes. Okay, guys, thank you very much. I'll see you tomorrow. I go. Forgot me. I passed in front of my coach, Charles Jr., three times to see if he saw me. He goes, hey, brother, how you doing? I'll see you tomorrow. Sleeping. I can't notice me. So I'm no blue belt, dude. Since then, when I started training jiu-jitsu, I got so hooked. I train every day since Monday to Fridays, since I started. Yeah, got real hooked. Go home, shower, cried, punched the wall a couple times. Man, wow, come, man. I'm a blue belt. What's up? You know what? I don't want to go to the class. I just spent 3 days. I didn't go back to China. But I was really angry. Then, I missed jiu-jitsu and said, you know what? I made an agreement with myself. From that day, I'll go back, train. But I'm not going to go there to expecting belt or training for a belt ever again. That's the only reason why I'm coming back now. I'm coming. I have to have these conclusions myself. I'm stepping the mat. From now on, I don't want to feel that again, because I got a little bit disappointed in myself, because I expect. But then, when you high expectations, you're building a possibility of disappointment, right?
Yeah.
So since then, that was my first lesson about high expectations. You know, you've got to have expectations, but not too high. Then, since then, suddenly, blue belt came, purple belt came, and time passes, you go. And that's a good mentality to have, because since that time, I no longer try to beat nobody else anymore. I just try to go there and be as good as I could ever be. And if this means I can beat other, good. But I'm not going to be limited myself to a certain person. That's why people ask me questions, brother, who is your inspiration? Who is your... You cannot be only one. Everyone. Everything that works, I'll take. Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
John, when you were saying that, it reminded me, I had two stripes on my blue and Duren goes, you're going to get your purple. I went, shut up. And he goes, no. He goes, you're probably going to get your purple.
I was here. You're in Australia. I was like, you've been training so hard for ages doing comps. I'm like, it has to be.
But I had my blue for like a year and a half. But because I was traveling, I never got any stripes. And then just after lockdown, I got my first one. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot what it was like. It'd been over a year and a half without a stripe. And then 3 months later, I get my second one. And I was like, oh my God. But then nothing. And I was training more than ever. I was competing more than ever. And I was like, I've had my blue belt 2.5 years, and I was like, I really need this third stripe, because I'm like, it signifies so much, and it never came. And it was my final 2 weeks in Sydney, and my professor was living about an hour away, and he just came for some gi classes, and I turned up every time, and I'm coming back to the UK. No one asked me when I was leaving. No one asked when my last session was. Like, even I then didn't tell anyone I was leaving because I didn't want it to be, you know, like you want to be like, hey guys, by the way, it's my last session. I did none of that. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And then to go, oh, okay, actually we should do something. And then I said to Darren, I could have to come back to the UK, two stripe blue belt, and then not know that I've had my blue belt for so long. Yeah. And then my very last gi session, I'm walking there and I'm talking myself down. I'm going, don't expect anything, because if I go there wanting my purple and I don't get it, I'm going to be distraught when I leave. I'm genuinely going to get on that plane home. I don't want to carry my blue belt with me and not love it, because I've loved this belt for so long. Mm-hmm. I cherish not losing it because I like how much it fades. I like the color and I love it getting a bit ripped and beaten up. Then after class, we all line up and they're like, right guys, thank you very much. We bow. And when we bowed, I died a bit inside. I was like, no. And then the professor goes, oh, by the way, guys, James is going home. Just give him a round of applause, blah, blah, blah. And then like everyone gives a round of applause. And then we're about to leave. And he goes, come here. And give him a hug. And then when I hug him, I look behind and Gabby's coming in my purple belt. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, this is probably my favorite moment more than anything. And when I got it, everyone's like laughing. I know my mates have told them that I'm leaving. And I was like, and even when they said we're going to whip you, I was like, that's fine. Hit me as hard as you want, I don't mind.
Yeah, man.
And it's such a special moment. Like you say, you get home, you hold it, and it's just the belt. Yeah, but it's not just the belt.
It's the reassurance of your hard work. It's like the certificate. We have my certificate. That it's a beautiful certificate. It's the, because when you get you steal your belt when you get your degree in black belt, right? I'm four degree black belt, four degree. So when you get it's the materialization of your hard work, isn't it? And then we're talking about the blue belt. For me, blue belt was one of my favorite. It was for me my favorite because the black belt, it didn't exist. That, you know, the glamour. Nobody gave me like it was weird for me but also I already have built a mentality to appreciate what I got. Yeah. And then that was the only option that I need to appreciate that, because I know Carlos Grace is not here. I'm not there.
Yeah.
And therefore, but I am the level. What do? I put myself in the mirror and I did my own personal ceremony and I bowed to myself. I said, dude, looks good. You know, but blue belt for me was, I remember that. It's like, wow. It's like it's like when you know, okay.
It's like you do jiu-jitsu.
I mean, you know.
Every time I see a white belt get one stripe after the class, I say to them, I'm like, that's the hardest. I say to them, you could have given up now.
Yeah.
And like, even if I've never spoken to them before, after the class, we line up, I go, well done, that's your hardest stripe. Yeah. Because between no stripe and one stripe, you can give up, you can leave. No, like when you chuck your kit away or take it to the charity shop, it's an empty belt. Mm-hmm. But when that first stripe goes on, you're in, you're locked
in.
Yeah, but look the beauty though. I get sometimes emotional. I'm getting older, I get more emotional with this shit thing. You know?
More estrogen.
Probably. You know more than me about that. But it's look at the beauty that you get out of your way to make that person feel special. It's such a good thing. Because you didn't, the same way that he could walk away, you didn't have to tell him neither.
It's acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement.
And it means...
This is so good for that person. You're making that even more special. You make that moment special for them. It's not for you.
Yeah.
It's for them, but therefore make you feel, man, it's, yeah. This is life.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, we had the London show 2 weeks ago. There was 1,500 people. And I got a stripe the week after on my blue belt. And don't get me, I loved being on stage and talking and having fun. But like getting a stripe on the belt, it's like, it's different.
It's, good, isn't it?
It's different.
You're a full grown adult and you're like,
yeah, it's only a piece of tape, but you're like, this is unreal.
It is beautiful, man. The jiu-jitsu is amazing. That's why I like, and I like the what comes with it. You know, the acknowledgement, the sharing, the group, the brotherhood, and the scrape, the scrape. Like scrape. When they go,
yeah,
someone cuts your head, you're like, it's all right, I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny, like even when we go, we've got a friend in Ibiza, he's like head of security in all the main clubs, and all the guys will go to the same jiu-jitsu.
Send me the contact,
yeah, we will, don't worry, don't worry. And we go into the nightclub and we see the ears and we're like, what's... And they're like, straight away, we're like, if anything happens, I think they like us.
Yeah. Do you ever bow when you get into someone else's lounge by accident?
I was at a restaurant. I do it at a restaurant for bananas.
Every time. It's like I get into something. I said, I didn't have to do it, but I did.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, man. Like also shrimping when I turn in the bed in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. But so even hip escape.
Hip escape.
I was saying the other day, even when I'm getting intimate with a woman, leg drag. Unhook, sweep,
yeah.
2 points.
Oh. Dude, half guard. Don't pass.
I like to.
Don't pass.
I like
sweep, but no pass.
Don't pass. I like to do the leg drag. Throw your way up the bed, innit?
It is. It's you get good at it, you know.
It's,
I'm telling you.
Well, it's us, I haven't got good at it. So we're gonna roll shortly. But what I'd love to know is, what does the future hold for Braulio Steamer? What are you looking to do? Where can people keep up and follow this ongoing legacy?
Yes, I mean, I'm focused now on my mission of using jiu-jitsu as a tool to make a difference in the world somehow. You know, and I know how much it made. The positive impact on my life through competition, but jiu-jitsu was the lead, the hook. But for you to be getting the attributes, the benefits of jiu-jitsu, you don't really need to be a competitor. You just need to be on the mats and experience it. You know, what the magic that comes. And then I see the benefit that I see kids that could even talk. You know, we used to like, okay, count. Okay, 1, 2, 3. No even confident to say a word out of the mouth, and nowadays be able to socialize and have friends to go, and it changed even the at home. The parents comes to here, man, that's jiu-jitsu made a big difference on my kid, and actually I want to check it out. Do you think I'm too old for that? Man, not too old. They come back and make a difference and make the whole harmony, making such a positive impact in the communities that we, and now I'm in the position that I'm the head professor at Gracie Barra Global Online, and I want to use that position to spread that, you know, to everyone, to show that is such an amazing opportunity to get into an art that's going to make a better yourself. It doesn't matter what you do, you know, and using my experience to kind of share, you know, all my journey that I have so many ups and downs. And I know that if I could make what I did coming from that little town with so many injuries that I did, and be able to do training with the white belts and blue belts, and therefore grow the sport around, anybody can, because I'm not special. I'm just a normal kid that used to be just playing around, you know. And I want to use that as a tool to motivate people, to help them to become a better version of themselves, and that's it, really, you know. And having fun the process.
We appreciate your time, because it's cool for us to sit with a jiu-jitsu legend and talk about this stuff and like connect with you on a different, because.
In what world can we sit with someone at the top of our favorite sport?
Yeah. It was football before. It was rugby for you. You can connect with rugby people, football people. You just don't get a chance to choke each other out in those games. You know what I mean? So you build a different connection. So I appreciate your time, and this was a lot of fun.
Man, my pleasure, man. James, thank you
very much.
Yeah, thank you. Now we roll, yeah?
Yeah,
now we roll. Oh, yes, baby.